Vectis Radio.
Welcome to Maggie Talks To, a series of in-depth conversations with people who live and work here on the Isle of Wight.
I'm here today with Sarah Jackson, who was the superintendent here, the district commander of the police on the Isle of Wight, and she's now doing other things. But that's not what we're here to talk about. So, hello, Sarah.
Hi, Maggie. It's lovely to see you.
And you. Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
We want to inspire people, and you're one of the most inspiring women that we know.
Gosh, that's a huge compliment.
Gosh.
I'm trying to live up to it, but anyway, we'll keep going.
We'll start at the beginning. So, were you born here on the island?
I was, yes. I was born on Staplers Road.
All right.
Here in Newport.
Not in the middle of the road, hopefully.
No, I wasn't. But I literally, because my dad was in the police over here, and we lived in a police house.
Right.
And I was born at home on a Sunday evening.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So I wasn't born in hospital. No, I was born at home.
Fine. And you went to school locally?
I did, yeah. I started my schooling at Barton.
Yes.
When that was a school. I then, when Summerfields opened, went there for a short period of time before heading back towards Barton and going to Downside.
Right.
And then I finished my schooling at Medina.
Right.
So all Newport based.
Yes. And whilst you were at school, did you have any ideas of what it was you wanted to do when you left school?
If I'm honest, not really. And I didn't really know even when I left school. I'd worked in Gateway when it existed. Then I went to Boots as a Saturday girl. And so went into retail management when I first left school at 18.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what my first kind of employment was, with Sainsbury's on the mainland. So I left home at 18 and moved to a place called Chertsey in Surrey.
Right.
I joined their trainee management scheme.
Yes.
And I did that for a couple of years. But it after that period of time, I kind of didn't feel it was for me.
Yes.
And then I was a bit lost, if I'm honest, as to what was I going to do next.
What did you decide to do next?
Well, I did foray briefly and very briefly into insurance, but that wasn't for me either. And then I just decided to apply for the police.
Right.
Obviously, my dad had been in the police, so I lived amongst policing all my life. And so I can't honestly sit here and say it was a burning ambition from the start.
No,
that wouldn't be right. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, actually, though, this is me. Because what I did love doing when I was living on the island was working in the community. So I was a girl guide. I was a venture scout. So we did lots of community things. I've also when I was much younger, connected into Medina House School when that existed and did kind of voluntary work there. So that working in the community, I don't quite know why I hadn't picked up on it before, really. But
right.
Suddenly I realised that was perhaps something that I wanted to do. So I joined I applied for policing and was successful joining Hampshire, as it was then. Hampshire and the Isle of Wight now, of course.
It certainly is. So when you were a venture scout,
yes,
what did you get up to?
Oh, blimey. That's taken me back a long time, Maggie. What sort of thing? I do remember doing a fantastic charity event. It was like a barbecue thing out by the Pepper Pot, I think it was, with Stevens the Butchers.
Right.
But we did all sorts of things. I did my DOV bronze award with the Scouts. I got my Queen's Scout, got my Queen's Guide. So again, lots of things that enabled you to do that, getting your badge. I loved all of that.
Yeah.
I did an international camp with the guides over in the New Forest, and learnt lots there actually about me and because I was a leader of a little team, and how we organised ourselves, and I just really enjoyed doing that, having a group of people that I was responsible for.
And this group of people you were responsible for, did they achieve a lot?
Yeah, we actually
some did, some didn't.
Yeah, I mean, collectively, we won quite a few prizes, which always is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're successful at what you do. But actually also enjoying ourselves, because I think that's as important, is that you do get enjoyment out of what you do.
Absolutely. If you don't like it, there's not much point, is there?
Absolutely not, no. No, absolutely not.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, how you're doing leadership stuff all the way through.
And you know, Maggie, I probably hadn't even registered that until you asked me the question this moment. And I had to think about it. So it's really interesting what you... And that's one of the things I've learned through the years, is if unless you take time just to stop and to think about what you've done and what you've achieved and celebrate it... It's very easy to let things go by and not realise actually how successful you are. How much you can accomplish and have accomplished.
Yes.
No matter what you do. No matter what you do.
This is true. Did you have to go abroad, apart from over to the mainland, being a Venture Scout?
No, I didn't get that opportunity. There were those opportunities, but it didn't happen to fall at the time that I was doing it. But I had a great time. And I certainly... would recommend doing that to anybody, getting involved, whatever the youth activities that you're interested in. I loved camping, absolutely loved it. Not sure I like it now, but when I was young, I really loved that whole thing of going camping and being under canvas. And it literally in those days was canvas. And just that existing in nature.
Yes. Nature's very important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I think I lost my way with that a little bit over the years. I've definitely refound it in recent years, though.
Oh, that's good. How do you think you lost it?
Well, I just don't think I appreciated it.
Right.
And didn't give myself time to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think you go through periods in life where things are so busy. As I say, taking a step, stopping... And just being grateful for what we have. I mean, this morning walking the dog, beautiful. It was kind of misty, murky through the trees and sun coming out. And then there was a rainbow. And so it was just standing there for a moment and just going, goodness me, how lucky am I to live on the Isle of Wight and be able to do this and see this of a morning before I start work.
Yeah. Not be bad, can it?
No, not too bad at all.
So you've joined the police.
Yes.
What did you do? Where did you go? Where did you train?
So I trained at a place called Ashford in Kent, where there's a police training centre at the time. And then I was posted to the New Forest. It didn't go brilliantly well, to be absolutely honest, in the first instance. I struggled to feel that I fitted.
Right.
And so I had a few challenges and got into a few difficulties in my early months, years of service. However, I came out the other side of that with support from other people. I ended up moving to Southampton and had a fantastic team that I worked with there. And I just struggled a bit when I first started trying to get my identity, I think, and work out who I was as a police officer.
Right.
And I think the thing that when I look back on that period, wasn't an easy period for me because generally anything I'd done, I'd been successful at. So to then find myself not being successful.
Did you think you had to live up to your dad? Or?
Not consciously, but probably. No. And I just think the fact that anything I'd done up to that point, generally I'd done well.
Right.
So to then not find yourself doing something well, I didn't know how to deal with it.
Yes.
When I reflect back on that time, the thing that got me through was my determination that I'm not gonna stop here. Plus, absolutely help and support from other people.
Yes,
I moved locations, different environment, different setup, which helped me hugely. And what I would say is that. Absolutely, you get knockbacks and you get setbacks, but that doesn't mean to say that defines where you ultimately end up and what you ultimately achieve. And actually, you could argue that it's more important about what you take in terms of what you learn from that situation moving forward, because life is never going to go swimmingly all the time.
No.
And so that's perhaps about a bit of resilience and that bounce back ability,
right,
if there's such a word.
It is.
I've made it so, Maggie.
So did you find any prejudices from male members or female members of your team?
There were some experiences I wouldn't wish other people to have.
Right.
But that was also a long time ago.
Yes.
A very long time ago.
Yes, yes.
And things have moved on. I mean, obviously there are still challenges for policing, as there are for many organisations.
Yes, yes.
But I think if you can find those core of people around you that are going to support you, no matter what's going on, that's so important.
It is. And what was the best bit of policing at the time that you enjoyed most? Was it community-led or...?
It was very much, because at the time I was on are now district response teams. That was my role at the time. So it was more the kind of 24/7 policing.
Yes.
And going out and helping people who've called us because they need help.
Yeah.
Absolutely was what I enjoyed. I spent some time on what was called then the town centre unit. And that was obviously dealing with shoplifting and the like. And we had, being a city centre, quite a few shoplifting gangs that would come in, and actually breaking that up was good fun.
Oh, I bet,
But yeah, I actually really enjoyed working nights, although my body didn't necessarily, because you really got a chance then to get out and be proactive.
Yes. Did you enjoy, though, standing in the pouring rain directing traffic?
I didn't do that very often.
Oh, that's good.
But I did love walking in the rain, particularly at night. So I'd find myself on my own, on foot patrol, in Southampton city centre at night, and when it was raining, and I really enjoyed that. I don't know why I enjoyed it. I did have a bit of a strange thing. But that's never really bothered me, I have to say, the element stuff. As long as I've got the right kit on, then that's fine. It's what we're there for.
And you have the right kit, obviously.
We do now.
So did you have to do any advisory stuff for other people within your team or at that time? Or were you being advised by others?
I mean, you do, obviously, as new people join, you kind of, regardless of whether you've got a formal role, you do naturally coach people who join.
Yes.
And there's a chap who I've seen periodically throughout my career who joined as a probationer, as we called them then, student officer now, on the town centre unit at Southampton. And we chat about when I joined, you saw me as a brand new person. And so that's lovely. That is lovely.
Was there a good social life at that time?
Yeah, very good. I mean, in those days we had social spaces, so we did have a bar in Southampton. But it was a different world to it is now.
Yes. But was there a social life outside of the police?
Yeah, there was. And we used to get together periodically. In fact, I think a group of us went away together on one occasion. And I'm sure that still happens now. Where you do form really close bonds.
Yes.
With the people that you work with. And even now I see people periodically who was with at that time. And we kind of reminisce about those days, because there is something very kind of formative about the team that you're part of. Being part of it's a human thing, that
yes.
sense of belonging, isn't it? And to be part of a team is a great, great feeling.
It certainly is, because then you've got a little tribe, if you like, haven't you? Your own tribe.
Yeah, well, and you've got that support, and people know when you're perhaps having a little bit of an off day, and give you an extra kind of bit of support, or kick if a little metaphorical verbal kind of come on, get a grip, Sarah, if you need it. But it's all done because you care about each other.
Yeah. Did you have to do the training for the driving? The advanced driving?
No, I never became anything other than an A to B driver, Maggie.
Right.
I don't think they would have trusted me. Oh no, to be fair, I did do the van, so I could drive a van because of my age, of course, I've got whatever the relevant things on my driving licence. So I did do a van test many, many moons ago, but no, I'm not qualified to any of that, Maggie. No.
No, TPEC trained.
Oh gosh, no, that'd be frightening.
Right, we're going to take a little break now to have some adverts. We'll be back in a minute with Sarah.
Thank you.
Vectis Radio.
Right, we're back again here with Sarah Jackson. Thank you so much for doing this. We do appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure.
Did you move on from Southampton and go to other places, or did you stay there for a while?
I was there for a little while, and that's when I then had my first kind of toe in the water, well, more than toe, whole body really, into training.
Right.
Because I had the opportunity, having applied, to go and work at the police training centre that I mentioned in Ashford in Kent.
Yes.
Delivering training to new recruits.
Right.
And I did that for 3 years. So I really, that was my first experience of being a trainer. And there's no doubt about it. I absolutely loved it. I really loved it. That opportunity to help individuals grow and develop in whatever it is that they've chosen to do. And in this case, it was being a police officer, was just incredible. And I really, really enjoyed doing that. So that's what I did for the next 3 years.
So did you find anybody who wasn't up to snuff? Or did they find that out themselves?
Sometimes people absolutely find it out themselves.
Yes.
There may have been occasionally people who we would need to report because they came from all different forces.
Yes.
And we would report back to a force about how someone had performed on the course. But decisions about whether they continued in policing was really a decision for the force rather than for us. We would just report on how they performed.
Yeah. But sometimes people would think, right, I'm a nice new recruit. I'm going to do this training. It's really not for me.
Yeah, we do have
people.
Did
they come to you and say,
we did occasionally. I think probably it's a bit early on when they're even in the training. Sometimes that happens more once they get out and actually doing the job with their coach, their tutor. But sometimes it does happen very early on where people just haven't appreciated what's involved.
Yeah, I can't do this, no.
And that's absolutely right for them
absolutely.
And for the service and frankly for the public.
Yes.
Because it's a tough job, a rewarding job, but a really tough job.
It is a tough job, yeah.
And so people have got to know that it's right for them because how they do it will be reflected on how they feel about it.
Yeah. So after the training in Ashford,
yeah,
where did you go from there?
Well, I got promoted to sergeant while I was at Ashford. So ooh. I then went on promotion to Aldershot, so top end of the county, where I spent most of the next few years doing a variety of jobs at a variety of ranks, because I lived up there and my husband was based up there in that area as well. So we lived in that area and that's where we worked. And I really enjoyed working up at Aldershot and in that northeast corner. Because we had to travel through Surrey to get to it. So you're kind of almost on a little bit of a peninsula at the top there for the county. So, again, a really lovely, lovely family feeling. And met some amazing people. I'm still in contact with people now that I worked with when I was up there.
That's good.
And learned a huge amount. Because, well, I went from sergeant to chief inspector whilst I was there. So, of course, I learned a huge amount.
I bet you did. So when you were the sergeant, having come from a training thing, you were training the little ones, I was going to say, not the little ones, the probationers and the constables.
Yeah.
You were helping them through their career?
Yeah, I mean, that is a big part of the role of a sergeant.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I was learning how to be a sergeant at the same time because I had not a lot of experience. I had virtually no experience of doing that. And I made lots of mistakes. And it was quite an intense time for me to learn how to be a leader of people as well as of yourself.
Yes,
because that's you have to then do that. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Doing the training and how you encourage and coach and support people helped me with some of that.
Yeah.
But I still had to learn the job and know the job.
Because you'd have the constables coming to you and saying, "Sarge, we need help with X, Y, Z. What can you suggest?"
And quite often you'll have officers on the shift who've got more experience than you and more knowledge than you. And certainly my acting sergeant, I remember at the time, definitely did have. And so I was very reliant on him.
Yeah.
And that can be quite difficult when you're a new leader because you can feel like I should know all this. And it's something I've learned in more recent years. I didn't know it then, that actually that's okay, that you've got people who know more than you.
Yeah.
Because your job is to galvanise and bring them through and use their knowledge. You don't have to have every bit of knowledge.
It's not a failure, is it, not to know something?
No,
absolutely. Because you can go
not.
To someone and find out.
Absolutely. And I think it's a strength. Now,
yes.
I can sit here very confidently and say I think it's a strength
yes.
to say that you don't know something.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, if you keep saying you don't know something, then you've got to go find out.
Well, yes, but then you learn as you go along, don't you?
Absolutely, as long as you're doing that process. But that pressure that we can put on ourselves to know everything, particularly when you're a leader of people, I think is really tough. And we perhaps need to recognise that we can show our vulnerability.
Yeah. So how different is the role of inspector from that of sergeant?
Well, you're the next level up in the organisation yep. hierarchically.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got a bigger volume of people. So you've got to broaden your perspective.
And learn more.
And it's more lonely. It's probably at the point at which you start to feel that slight removal.
Right.
I mean, you need to be, as a sergeant, as a first line leader, you're not there to be people's friends. You
no.
are there to be caring, friendly, mm-hmm. kind, supportive. But actually, there's a job to be done at the same time.
Yep.
The inspector's then the next step from that. Some of it can be quite a difficult transition, I think.
Yes.
I can remember sitting in one of the many roles that I did, sitting in my office one evening, I can't even remember what time it was now, and my in tray is piled high. I'm doing this with my hands piled high.
It looks good on the radio.
Yeah, it looks good on the radio. And I just looked at it, I thought, how on earth, because I wanted to be able to clear it,
yep.
get it so it's empty. And I just had this sudden realisation that that was never going to happen. And it's never happened since, because there is so much to do. What you've got to learn to do is prioritise.
Yes.
And focus on what's important.
Yeah.
Is it urgent? Is it important? Which of those is it? Is it both? And work accordingly to that. So that was quite a moment, actually, for me to realise that, because I did at that point got up and went home, because sometimes you have to do that.
Yes,
for your own for your own well-being.
Yeah.
Because I could feel myself getting quite stressed about how much work I'd got on.
Yeah.
And how was I going to manage it? And
did you ever take work home with you?
Well, in those days, it was all paper.
Right.
Well, I say it was all paper. It wasn't. We of course, had computers in those days. But files and things like
yes.
that were all on paper.
Yes, yes.
So I wouldn't take things like that home.
No.
Generally would just stay later and do work.
But would you take it home in your head?
Oh, always. Always, Maggie. And that was one of the, again, lessons I've had to learn is
to stop
doing that.
Yeah.
Is to not overthink things, not ruminate over things, because that creates anxiety, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So that is one of the things definitely I've had to learn over the years. I wouldn't say I've nailed it completely.
I don't think anybody does.
No, I don't think they do. But I'm certainly a lot more able to manage when it starts to have a I have conversations with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I coach myself about... Oh, not,
you don't lose arguments with yourself, though, do you?
No, I don't.
Because that's very worrying.
Yes, it is worrying. No. We have a little. I have a little conversation with myself about, actually, come on, what you're doing. This isn't helpful. And it's great if you can do that with yourself or with someone else.
And it's just stop, just, have a cup of tea or...
Yeah, and literally, sometimes I do just say to me, Sarah, stop.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Let it go.
And you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've learnt to.
Good. So after being an inspector, what happened then?
I then became a chief inspector.
Whilst you were still in Aldershot?
So I kind of moved. So this was two areas I moved around. So there's the district of Hart and Rushmoore, which is
yep.
Aldershot, Fleet, Yateley and Farnborough. So those four areas, I worked in all of them.
Right.
And I first of all was the chief inspector at Fleet, which covered Fleet and Yateley. And then I became the chief inspector. Oh, no, actually tell a lie. Before I did any of that, I became a chief inspector down back at Netley.
Right.
Because that was my first posting as chief inspector, was leading the then probationer training course. So district centres like Ashford are closed and forces were doing it themselves in force. And so I led that team for 2 years down at Netley before I did the bit in the north.
So there's an awful lot of leadership coming from you, from venture scouts to chief inspectors and training. Yeah. And
yeah, when you put it that way, I suppose there is, yeah.
So are you a born leader, do you think? Or
oh, gosh, I don't know. Is there such a thing as a born leader? I think my personality is such that I like to get stuck into stuff. And I probably am a little bit impatient. She says, cringing.
A little bit, yes.
A little bit impatient. So when stuff's not happening, I kind of will be happy to get in and let's get this sorted out, shall we?
Okay. So from Netley, you went to...
Then I did go back up to the north to Hartrush and Rushmore.
Right.
And ended up the district commander for those four council areas, and was there for about 3 or 4 years as the district commander. And
so you had quite a few staff underneath you then.
Yes, yeah, and it was a different structure in those days. So it's very much a bit more like the island is, a geographical structure where we had everybody sat under the geographical district chief inspector. And I know we've moved back to that now. Funnily enough, I was having this conversation with a group of leaders on Wednesday, just that having responsibility for a geographical area and wanting to give the best service you can to that community is something that I, to this day, hold incredibly dear, because it's about making a difference to people's lives.
Yes.
We are there to support the vulnerable in the community and also, frankly, deal with those that are causing that vulnerability and causing harm.
But you're making a difference not only to the community, but to the staff underneath you as well.
Well, I think...
Because they're learning and...
Well, I think as a leader, that is your responsibility.
Yes.
It's a privilege. If I'm asking officers and staff to go out and deal with the most horriblest of things at times, I've got a responsibility to do everything I can to support them. And I haven't always got that right, I know that. But
that's what learning's all about.
It is absolutely. But also recognising my responsibility to the community. So if something would go wrong or something didn't happen as it should, then I would always take responsibility for that, and we would learn from it. So I just think that there's something very rewarding about the most reward I used to get was seeing what my teams were doing and how they were responding to the challenges in the community and how much they were achieving. And the difference they were making was so proud of things that happened over the years and that people have done both in Hart and Rushmore and then here on the island.
Yeah. So when did you come to the island?
I came to the island in 2015. Mm-hmm. Yes, on promotion to superintendent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were the district commander for the whole of the island.
I was, yes. A great privilege it was.
And did you enjoy that?
I did.
Because you live here on the island, don't you?
I do still live here, yes. Yeah. My parents were still here. Well, my dad's not with us anymore, but my mum's still here. And my parents were still here at the time, so they were thrilled. And, of course, my dad, having been in the police over here, I think he wasn't a man of many words, my father. typical Scotsman. And he was incredibly proud. And funny enough, coming back to be responsible for such an important public service like policing in the place that you were born and brought up, actually, I hadn't appreciated how much it would mean to me emotionally. I found it really, a really important part of my career. And I'm so pleased that I did it.
Good. We're going to take another break now for some more adverts. We'll be back again with Sarah in a minute or two.
Vectis Radio.
We're back now with Sarah. So you've come to the island as you're the district commander, as a superintendent. Mm-hmm. Was that newly promoted?
It was, yeah.
And was that daunting for you in the first instance, or did you think, actually, I've come home?
There was a feeling of I've come home, actually. Mm-hmm. Interesting you say that, Maggie, definitely. Because it wasn't like going somewhere else geographically. I didn't know it. Having been here for the first 18 years of my life and then obviously been back visiting, I did know it. And there is a uniqueness about the island.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. And I felt I'd got that connection. And of course, as people found out that I'd got the history I got, I think it did help me as well when I came back. Daunting. I'm just trying to think back to where, to that. Yes, I mean, it's always daunting going into a new role and a new rank.
Yes.
But I've been not doing frontline policing for about 18 months at that point, and I was ready to go back. I was ready to come back to it,
right?
And ready to see what could I achieve, what could I do? Because, as I said, that bit around giving the best service we can to the community, and it being a community that was so important to me.
Yes, and such an enclosed community as well, slightly different from the whole of Hampshire, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there were definite similarities between working here and in the northeast, because again, it was kind of fairly enclosed because of the geographical nature of it, just amplified over here because, of course, of the water and it being an island.
Yes.
I mean, I think what's interesting is when I came here, of course, that the bit I hadn't thought about was, wherever I worked on the mainland, I usually were people I knew.
Right.
And I landed on the island and there was almost nobody that I knew.
Right.
In terms of the police.
And they didn't know
staff
you.
Staff and police officers. They didn't know me, but I'm not naive enough to think that they didn't find out about me. In fact, no, there were one or two people I did know, because I trained them when they were at Ashford.
Oh, right.
But obviously I'd never worked with them. So I didn't know them in a day-to-day working context.
Right.
And that was something I hadn't kind of registered. So I had to reset my thinking around that. So those relationships that we sometimes rely on and take for granted that we've got, I didn't have any of that when I first came.
Right.
I had to kind of re-establish all that.
So when you said about frontline policing, did you actually go out with your teams?
Yeah, occasionally, not as much as I would have liked to have done. And probably not as much as I should have done. It was a very, very busy role.
Yeah.
And that's not making excuses.
That's the way it was.
The fact. And but I did occasionally get out, yes.
Did you enjoy that bit of getting out?
Oh, yes. Well,
especially if it was raining.
In fact, one night I was out walking. It was raining. I went out with a couple of officers and we went to an incident over in Sandown. And they went off in one direction. And I was in another direction. And I can remember them saying, I can remember hearing the control room calling me up because they'd been calling me on the radio and didn't know where I was. And I wasn't answering because I was being rubbish. And afterwards they were saying, we thought we'd lost the superintendent. We thought, oh, goodness, now we're going to explain this. We've lost the superintendent.
But you were found.
Oh, yes, I was fine, yes.
You were found and you were fine.
I was not listening to my radio was my problem. Not theirs, mine.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It's something else you learn, isn't it?
Yeah,
I've absolutely. Got to listen.
And you'd lose the ear. That's the thing you learn when you first join policing is when you first join and you're with people who've been doing it a while and the stuff going on the radio and they're listening, how on earth did you hear that? How on earth did you take that in? But you do get that. But, of course, if you don't do it, you lose it. And I wasn't listening.
Oh, well.
But it was all good. It was all right. All fine.
You were safe.
Yes, I was.
And they were all relieved. Have you got any advice for people? Have you got any advice for people, whether they're young people doing their options for GCSEs or whether they at university would help them, whether going into a job would help them or doing whatever it is they think they would like to do? Have you got any advice for them?
I think about what it is important to you.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer that your values and what's important to you is where you'll always connect back to.
Yep.
One of the reasons I moved away from Sainsbury's, not that it was not a great place to work, it just didn't connect with me.
No.
And I think
it was a job, and that was
yes. It. And I think if you're going to have satisfaction and success and happiness in the workplace, which we do for a long time, you need to be able to try and do something that you can connect with, if
yes.
you can.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you don't know what that is. I didn't know what it was.
No.
And you need to try things and try them on for size and see how they fit.
Yeah.
What I would say is if we're talking about specifically coming into policing, I think exposing yourself to how you engage with people, how you talk to people, because policing is about people.
Yes.
And the ability to talk to people. Now, that could be volunteering, that could be being a venture scout, that could be working in a shop like I do. So it's just knowing what are the sorts of things that policing is all about.
Yeah.
And it's about compassion, it's about caring. It is about knowing, obviously, your powers and what you're doing.
Yes.
So there's that to it, of course.
But it is about
people.
There are other careers within policing, aren't there? Such as the backroom staff.
So the our police staff are amazing.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, in the course of this day and age, people's abilities around AI, and I have to say at this point, mine are all zero. I'm absolutely,
me too. Yep.
It's one of my things to learn more about, Maggie, my list of things to do to learn more about. It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of opportunities in terms of that, whether you're talking in terms of IT, whether you're talking AI, whether you're talking intelligence, analysis. Operational officers and staff can't function without those enabling services.
Yes, yes.
It is absolutely a partnership. So equally, if being out talking to people isn't your thing, that doesn't mean to say policing isn't your thing either. Because actually, if you're connected into the mission of policing around keeping people safe and dealing with those who cause them harm, then absolutely policing can be for you.
Yeah. So do people who are coming into the police force now have to have a degree? Because I know they did at one time.
There are three entry routes currently. So the first one is a policing plus 2-year programme, and there's no degree required for that. There's also a policing plus graduate 2-year programme, which does require a degree. And then last but not least, there's the Police Constable Degree Apprenticeship Programme, which is a 3-year programme. And the only educational requirements for that are a maths and English at GCSE or a level 2 functional skills qualification. And at the end of that, then the officers do get a degree. All the details can be found on the Hampshire Constabulary website. But also, of course, there are many, many routes in as police staff.
Right.
And
how long do people normally serve within the police force? If they finish their complete service?
I think it's how long it works for them.
Right.
I think people joining any organisation now have a different expectation, mm-hmm. perhaps, to when I joined, where people don't always join for a long time.
Right.
Some people do, absolutely, and many do, thank goodness. But equally, people like to have the opportunity to go on and do other things.
Yeah.
Which again is good because they might then come bring those skills back into policing.
Yes.
So I think it's a variety, to be honest with you, Maggie.
Oh, that's good.
And we will always benefit from people bringing in skills and abilities they learn from outside of policing.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Because it's very very essential, I would have said. So now you're here on the island and you're living on the island. And you've got your doggy, Dougie. You enjoy walking?
I do, yeah. We walk him every single day. And it's interesting because my role that I've now got with the College of Policing does mean I'm away from home quite a lot. So when I've got the time at home, and I've had a sort of stint of a few weeks on the lead up to Christmas and through then, but I'm about to set off on my next set of journeys this weekend. So it is really nice to be at home and get some quality time.
Good. But you do get to go to some places, don't you?
I do. And in 2022, I applied to join the College of Policing as a senior leadership trainer. Mm-hmm. So kind of full circle back to when I was doing training at Ashford.
So working at the College of Policing has given me some amazing opportunities. And I've been really privileged to be able to represent the College of Policing and UK policing internationally. I've been asked to attend a number of International Association of Women in Policing conferences where I've spoken about leadership. But I've also had the huge privilege of working in partnership with the Foreign and Commonwealth Development Office and the Fiji Police Force in going to Fiji and delivering our approach to leadership to over 100 leaders within the police force there in Fiji. And to have the opportunity to be immersed in a very, very different culture to my own was just incredible. The warmth, the welcome, the generosity from the people of Fiji was just amazing. I really learned something about gratitude while I was there and being grateful for what we have. I certainly left a little bit of my heart in Fiji. There's no doubt about that.
Would you go back? For a holiday?
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. It's a fairly long haul.
Yes.
It's sort of a day and a half of travelling because I actually circumnavigated the world because I flew out of London to America and to Fiji and then from Fiji to Singapore and then home. So I literally went round the whole world, which is quite weird to think about, really.
Yeah, at least you weren't in a boat, I suppose.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
It's been absolutely fascinating, Sarah. Thank you so much. And I hope people are inspired to come and join the police force or something else they enjoy.
Well, that's what I would say is if you can do something you enjoy, great. I appreciate that when we work also for a reason.
Yeah.
And that's to earn money.
Of course.
But even if you're doing something that perhaps isn't quite right for you at the moment, look at what else you do in your life to give you joy and to give you, and that you can have gratitude in.
Brilliant.
Because I think for that is such an important thing.
It is.
Thank you for asking me to come and speak with you, Maggie.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing it.
You're very welcome.
If you would like to hear this or any other of the conversations again, go to the Vectis Radio webpage, vectisradio.com, and you can find it amongst the podcasts.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.